Thank you and good afternoon. Just 1 year ago, at the congressional baseball game practice, a shooter entered the last practice before the game and began firing. U.S. Congressman and Representative for the 13th District of Illinois, Rodney Davis, was at this practice. I discussed the shooting and the game this year with Rodney and his appreciation of the police force.
Absolutely. This is our annual game where Republicans play Democrats. We play real baseball, and it's every kid's dream. We get a chance to play on a major league stadium field, and we're just a lot older and slower, but we raise a lot of money for local D.C. charities just after one game we play together once a year. It's over 100-year-plus tradition. And as many of your listeners remember, last year that tradition was marred with tragedy. I was up to bat during our last practice a year ago, and a gunman from Illinois came out and started firing at us and shot a few people, five people that morning, two critically, and they're doing great. And both of them, I'm happy to say, were at practice today. We had our last practice before the game tomorrow. Was kind of a surreal moment where we actually got to finish the practice this time and go into game time. And I think it's a message to send to the American people of strength and resiliency. You know, no matter what your political beliefs are, whether you agree or disagree with Republicans or Democrats, solving your problems is not through bullets. It's through actually the ballot box if you disagree or if you agree with somebody. And today was another day closer to reminding the American people why we're the greatest country in the history of the world, and we beat back any challenges this year, and we're going to go have a fun Republican versus Democrat game tomorrow, and as the starting catcher, I can't wait to jaw with my Democrat colleagues coming up to bat.
I'm sure that was definitely a scary moment, and I'm sure it was a great feeling this year that, you know, you actually made it through the practice and didn't have any bumps like last year. Where is that game held at this year?
Well, it's every year, and this year, again, it's going to be a national stadium. So the Washington Nationals go on an away game series, and we take over their stadium for a night. It was really neat the first time I ever got a chance to walk out there, and was not happy I struck out my very first at-bat, but haven't done that often since. But it's, you know, it's fun to be able to play in that Major League Stadium, and last year everything was kind of surreal in the aftermath of the shooting, but I finally saw some pictures later, and we had a crowd around the entire lower section of National Stadium because the American people stepped up and said, we're not gonna kowtow to somebody who came and tried to disrupt our political system.
Is this game open to the public?
It is. The tickets are $10 a piece. We got a lot of sponsors that help us raise a lot of money. Last year we had our average about $600,000 that would go to three D.C. charities. And in less than 24 hours after the shooting, the tragedy, probably, you know, it'll go down as the most terrifying moment I've ever had in my lifetime. After that, in less than 24 hours, the American people donated and bought tickets. We raised $1.5 million for local D.C. charities, and we sold over 25,000 tickets. And matter of fact, I like to joke with MLB, we sold out. We outsold two Major League Baseball parks that night. We didn't play as well as they did, but we outsold them.
What charities do they give to typically, or does it change every year?
You know, D.C. Has a few charities we work with. The Boys and Girls Club is one of them. One of them last year that got added was the Capitol Police Memorial Fund, because I frankly can't say thank you enough to the Capitol Police officers that I saw charge at a gunman with a lot less firepower on their hands, and they were just heroes. They were afraid of nothing. They charged at the gunman. They allowed us to get to safety. They did what I thought every police every member of police does, and that's to protect those who don't have the ability to fire back. And to be able to stand on the field this morning with one of those officers, David Bailey, I got a chance to harass him a little bit early in practice, and I said, here's to hoping we don't need your talents as much this year today. But being able to be out there and see those who demonstrated the courage that we, you know, we only think about and see on TV sometimes is really a testament to to really people who, like David Bailey and the police officers and law enforcement at all levels who protect us all every day.
That is certainly very true. You just recently honored one local police officer in Godfrey, right?
I honored a local police officer in Godfrey and then one in Jerseyville that, ironically, a year ago today, on June 13th, was on patrol, and he was following a suspect, I believe a burglary suspect, who turned and started firing at him. And as a matter of fact, Officer Miller, Nate Miller, was shot multiple times. His vest saved his life, but he was injured. And I got a chance to talk to him after his injuries, and we commiserated on, you know, being fired at by a crazed gunman. And just on Monday of this week, I got a chance to stop by the Jerseyville Police Department. I was at another meeting and had a few extra minutes and popped my head in and saw Chief Blackerby and Officer Miller, and he's back on duty. You know, our police officers risk their lives, even in our small rural communities every day, and to see people like Officer Miller be able to get back to work so quickly because they love their job, it's really a testament to rural America, too.
I remember that shooting because I live in Medora, so I live pretty close, and it is pretty rare whenever you hear something like that in an area like Jerseyville, but you do have to go ahead and thank those police officers for doing what they do.
You do, and Officer Miller, you know, young dad, young wife, and just beginning his career. We think when we see police officers that they go out every day knowing they may have to risk being fired at. Not many get that. Not many have that. As a matter of fact, I was reminded by many of my friends in law enforcement that they said they've never been fired on like we had last year on the baseball field. And we don't wish that upon any law enforcement officer or anybody. But when it happens, to see the courage of an officer like Officer Miller or the Capitol Police officers who were there on the ground with us last year, and also the Alexandria, Virginia police officers who helped take the gunman down, you see what training does, and you see the special kind of person that it takes to be able to run towards gunfire at the risk of their own life to save others. And I've personally witnessed it, and the people in Jerseyville ought to appreciate the actions of people like Officer Miller every day, because they're running towards the danger while everybody else, including all of us on the baseball field a year ago tomorrow, we're running away from danger.
That was U.S. Congressman Rodney Davis. The Farm Show will be right back after these messages. In national news, one representative has spoken out, saying he is disappointed in the Mexican tariffs. Like much of the agriculture community, Representative Dan Newhouse says he was disappointed to learn last week of Mexico's tariffs against American agriculture, including apples. The Republican represents Washington State's 4th District and says the retaliatory tariffs were predictable and will have a negative impact on Washington's economy. Newhouse says he's had a chance to talk with Robert Lighthizer and other members of the Trade Representative's office and stresses that disruptions in trade or tariffs will hurt Washington farmers especially hard.
From me and our delegation, the message is keep negotiating, stay at the table. These trade deals are critically important, and we have to have them completed in a satisfactory a way that benefits partners on both sides of the table.
Will these new tariffs hurt the GOP, especially rural Republicans, as we approach the midterm elections? Newhouse would not speculate, but he says he expects the administration to watch out for the base that gave President Trump the 2016 election.
We're not at the end of this yet, and I'm still hopeful that we will get to a positive end. It's our job to make sure that the administration realizes and understands exactly what's at stake here and the impacts of the actions that are taken.
That was U.S. Representative Dan Newhouse of Washington. Mexico has turned to the EU and others to replace the U.S. pork imports they are losing due to the tariffs. Mexico is turning to the European Union and Latin America to offset any potential declines in U.S. pork imports. Mexico recently announced a 20% tariff on U.S. pork shoulders and legs starting next month in response to steel and aluminum tariffs placed on Mexico by the Trump administration. Mexican officials told Politico the nation will allow 350,000 tons of pork from all other countries to ensure that its consumers do not face shortages. Experts predict the quota will be quickly filled by the European Union and Latin America. U.S. pork will still be able to compete under the quota, but is expected to see a sharp loss in sales from the Mexican tariffs. The United States sent 25% of its total pork exports to Mexico last year. Meanwhile, EU Agriculture Commissioner Phil Hogan said, if Trump does not want to do business, the EU is ready and willing. The USDA has lowered corn and soybean projected ending stocks. The Department of Agriculture lowered 2017-2018 ending stocks for corn and soybeans in its latest monthly world agriculture supply and demand estimates. USDA reduced ending stocks for corn 105 million bushels to 1.57 billion bushels, which if reached would be the lowest level since 2013-2014. The season average farm price is raised 10 cents at the midpoint with a range of $3.40 to $4.40 per bushel. Ending stocks for 2018-2019 are projected at 385 million bushels, down 30 million from last year. Price forecasts for 2018-2019 are unchanged this month. The 2018-2019 season average price for soybeans is forecast at $8.75 to $11.25 per bushel. Wheat supplies are increased slightly this month on higher beginning stocks and production. Winter wheat is forecast up 6 million bushels to 1.19 million, with modest increases in all winter wheat classes, and total wheat production is now at 1.82 million. The projected season average farm price is up 10 cents per bushel, with the midpoint at $5.10, compared to the revised 2017-2018 price of $4.75. The USDA has once again extended the deadline for the Dairy Margin Protection Program. U.S. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue today announced the re-enrollment deadline for the Margin Protection Program for dairy will be extended until June 22, 2018. The new and improved program protects participating dairy producers when the margin, the difference between the price of milk and feed cost, falls below levels of protection selected by the applicant. USDA has already issued more than $89 million for margins triggered in February, March, and April, and USDA offices are continuing to process remaining payments daily. Last week, we reopened enrollment to offer producers preoccupied with field work an additional opportunity to come into their local office to sign up. We did get more than 500 new operations enrolled, but want to continue to provide an opportunity for folks to participate before the next margin is announced, said Secretary Perdue. More than 21,000 American dairies have gone into our 220,000 FSA offices to sign up for 2018 MPP coverage, but I'm certain we can do better with this extra week and a half. The re-enrollment deadline was previously extended through June 8, 2018. The deadline is being extended a second time to ensure that dairy producers are given every opportunity to make a calculated decision and enroll in the program if they choose. This will be the last opportunity for producers to take advantage of key adjustments Congress made to the provisions of the MPP program under the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2018 to strengthen its support of the dairy producers. USDA encourages producers contemplating enrollment to use the online web resource to calculate the best levels of coverage for their dairy operation. The next margin under MPP for May 2018 will be published on June 28, 2018. Therefore, all coverage elections on Form CCC-782 and the $100 administrative fee, unless exempt, must be submitted to the county FSA office no later than June 22, 2018. All dairy operations must make new coverage elections for 2018 during the re-enrollment period, even if the operation was enrolled during the previous 2018 sign-up. Coverage elections made for 2018 will be retroactive to January 1, 2018. MPP payments will be subsequented at a rate of 6.6%. To learn more about the Margin Protection Program for dairy, contact your local USDA Farm Service Agency county office or visit us on the web at www.fsa.usda.gov. In local news, Southwestern FFA will be hosting a Kitty Corner at the Betsy Ann Picnic in Brighton this Thursday and Friday. The Kitty Corner will have face painting and a pie-in-the-face game. There will also be a raffle, and all proceeds will go to the St. Paul UMC Church in Brighton. Be sure to take the little ones out to see the Southwestern FFA. Greene County Fair is this week, starting Friday, with the FFA show. The 4-H show starts Saturday at 8 a.m. with the Sheep and Beef and Dairy show. Before the show, send your 4-H exhibitors up to grab a delicious breakfast from CHS Shipman, who will be serving breakfast from 6 to 8:30 a.m. on Saturday. The fair will run through next Saturday, June 23rd. That's all the time we have on your farm show this afternoon. Reporting for WSMI, this has been Jamie Geisler.